for us, and to do it in those circumstances, you know, win by one goal and to score the winning goal, it's just incredible.
Welsh netball is in a really strong position at the moment, and it's a real privilege for me to be able to captain both the Celtic Dragons and the Welsh national team. For Scotland, it really just solidified the progression that we've made as a country on the world stage.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show with 5 for 10.
Hello and welcome to The Netball Show. I'm Sasha Shipway.
And I'm Natalie Morris. And this week we're going to be talking about the frankly huge news that Serena Guthrie is leaving Giants and coming back to the UK in 2019. And this is just massive for us, I think. What do you think about it, Sasha?
Oh my God. When I found out, I was just like, what? Quickly went online, checked Twitter, like frantically.
Yeah.
As you do.
Yeah.
And yes, it is big news because she's been playing over, you know, on that side of the world since, I think it's 2014.
Yeah.
So she's had such a good stint out there. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she's announced that she's returning, like, she's the kind of player who literally could have her pick, I would say, of almost any team out there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Giants would have offered her another season.
Yeah.
Because she's been, you know, beyond outstanding for them as a wing defence and centre this year. So it's really interesting. I think it's a bit of a shock move. Not a lot of people expected it because playing in Australia, you know, it is the best league in the world. So yeah, definitely big news. And it's interesting as well that she mentioned, you know, it's for personal reasons, not necessarily just netball reasons,
yeah,
which is understandable. You know, when you're in Australia, you are on the other side of the world and far away from family and lots of friends.
Yeah.
But it is also next season is the Netball World Cup year. So the fact that Serena's going to be back in England for that is big news.
It's huge. It's huge for England, definitely. And like you say about her wanting to have, she seems to be one of the most well-rounded kind of elite netball players out there. Like, she isn't just about her netball. Like, if you know anything about her, if you follow her on Twitter, on Instagram, you know she's into her cooking, she's into her DJing, she's always out. She seems to be, she's not, her life isn't just on the court. And I think that part of that must be why she wants to come back and you know, try other things. Like, she's 28, she obviously doesn't just want to have done the elite netball thing, and she wants to be doing other things as well, and that must be part of the reason she's coming back. But like, it is a surprising move to me. I'm like, she's kind of at the peak of her career, she's performing consistently amazingly, she's at the age where she's still got a good, you know, 5 years of being at that top level of her game as well, and it's a bit of a surprising move to leave all of that behind. But maybe she just thinks she's made her mark and she's done all she can do on that side of the pond, and she wants to come back over here and see what she can do with the Super League. But with Giants the last 2 years, she's been one of the best players out there. Like, she has absolutely made her mark there.
Oh, 100%. And she's been starting seven. When you hear the commentators talking about her, they're like, oh, Guthrie. She's like always rolling around doing this acrobatic dynamic stuff on the court that no one else can seem to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is going to be amazing for the Super League to have her back. But obviously there's huge speculation as to which team she's going to be joining.
Where do you think she's going to go? Like you say, she could go anywhere. They're all going to want her.
Everyone's going to want her. I think, because the thing is, when you look at Sara Bayman, for example, when she came back to the Super League last year, no one expected her to go to Sirens.
Yeah.
Everyone thought that she would, you know, go to Wasps or Lightning or, you know, somewhere like that, or Thunder, because, you know, she had a history with them. But she didn't. She did the completely unexpected thing by joining a club, you know, that was new to help build them up. And she really liked what they were doing there. So Serena could do something that's predictable or completely unpredictable, which means that my point is, like, you know, I don't really know.
Yeah.
But I actually think she'll go to Lightning.
Yes.
I don't know why. I just think, you know, why not? They have been the runners-up in the Super League for the past 2 years. And they're doing so well. I don't necessarily think she'll join Wasps because I think that, you know, Wasps just signed Jade Clark.
Yep.
So they've got that really, really strong centre wing defence player. But at the same time, if she did join Wasps, she would be playing with a lot of the England girls week in, week out on the same team, which would be a positive for her. So
helpful.
It would be a good idea. Then there's London Pulse. You know, she could end up being captain there. They're a new team.
It's exciting. So, and the thing is, the thing is with Serena is that she's such a like a powerhouse of talent that she could walk into any team and the impact that she would have could be huge. Like she, it's it seems ridiculous, but she is the kind of player that could really change the fortunes of a club. So I don't think she needs to walk into an already well-established club. She doesn't need to go, okay, I need to go into the team that is likely going to win and give me that glory. She doesn't even need to do that. I think she could go into one of the more middling teams and really shake things up and make them huge contenders. I think she genuinely has enough ability to be able to do that, which is just really exciting. So if she doesn't go with one of the, you know, the front runners, then that could really change up our expectations for next season. I'd be really excited to see if she did go for Pulse, actually, just to see what they could do, because obviously they're completely new. We have no expectations whatsoever as to their level at this point. So that could be a great move for her.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like when Wasps first became a franchise and no one really knew what to expect. And then they, you know, they won the Super League that year and they've won it again this year. So the same thing could happen with Pulse. They could be completely unexpectedly just, you know, blowing everyone out of the water and winning the Super League.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously this comes as Helen Housby has signed for 3 more years over over on the other side of the world. So she's definitely going to be, you know, off English soil for a significant amount of time. Do you think that Serena coming back will trigger other people to come back, like obviously Joe Harton or, you know, anyone else? Do you think this could start a little wave of the return?
I don't know. That's interesting because her and Joe Harton are obviously,
they're besties, aren't they?
They're best friends, yeah. They have like that kind of like twinning friendship, yeah, which all netballers love to have with teammates. So, yeah, sort of, it makes me sad for the two of them, actually, that Serena's leaving. I hope that Joe doesn't leave, but who knows, you know, you can never really tell these things, can you? I don't know. I think that, I actually think that following the Commonwealth Games this year, I think that more English players will be signed over in Australia, actually, or at least will be offered things in Australia. Like, we saw Nat Haythornthwaite go over to the NSW Swifts. Yes. At the end of their season this year. So they have got dibs on her and they might end up selecting her for this next season coming up. So it's hard to say. I don't actually think many people will follow Serena by coming back, because I think that even though it would be advantageous with the Netball World Cup coming up, the England squad do really long camps running up to big tournaments like this. So I don't know whether it's necessary, and I think that for Serena it's more of a personal thing, and you know,
definitely, and she's already had her experience out there. It's not like she's gone out for a year and has decided it isn't for her. She's been out there for a significant amount of time. Maybe she thinks she's got all of the experience she needs to get, she's got everything out of it that she can, and wants a different challenge. Whereas for someone like Nat Haythornthwaite, this is an opportunity to really up her game and learn some new skills, and she could develop into a completely different player over the next 2-3 years, as we saw with Serena and Joe and with Helen, as they all went out there and just developed into these unbelievably well-rounded players. So I do think it's still a good thing to be getting our younger talent out across the pond.
Definitely. It's like undoubtedly helped the England squad develop and the players individually.
Yeah.
But I mean, you look at, you know, for example, when, you know, people of Serena's age, like when we were kids and we were learning to play netball and became really passionate about it, it wasn't a viable career choice and it wasn't something where you thought you could get paid. And now it's changing, and it is, but she's sort of in that generation where she's in the middle ground, because it sort of now is a career, but it's not really. And like, once you come out of the game, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. And I completely kind of understand where she's coming from, to be able to want to do other things in other areas of her life back in the UK. But yeah, I mean, congrats to Helen Housby for signing for another 3 years. That's pretty amazing to have a 3-year contract. I think it's quite rare to see players sign for that long. And I was actually thinking, I wonder whether she'll be coming back or what will be happening. And I remember that when we were both working for the England Netball magazine and you interviewed Helen a few years ago. This is when she was just a fresh young player. And you said to her, what's the dream? You know, she was like, oh, I'd love to go and play out in Australia one day. And now she's been there for 2 seasons, and, you know, in 3 years, she'll have been there for 5 seasons, thanks to all of her signings. So it's pretty amazing, yeah, isn't it?
She's living her dream. It's really, really awesome for her. So happy for her. But I'm also really, really happy that Serena is going to be back on home soil and we'll be able to watch her every week. That's amazing. I'm so excited about that.
Oh, me too. It's going to be absolutely brilliant.
I think the first thing that stands out for me about wearing Viper 10 kit is just the feel of it. It's so comfortable. Since the brand's come around, I think I've still got the same hoodie from about 5 years ago, and it fits so well. The colour remains, and I think that's one of the most important things, particularly with sportswear brands nowadays. You're wearing them day in, day out. People love living in their active wear, and the fact that this active wear looks good, it feels good, it's just great to wear.
Welcome back to the Netball Show, and now we're going to talk about the new squads that have been selected over the past few days. There's a lot of exciting series and competitions coming up, and we finally got those all-important squad selections out there.
Yeah, really, really exciting. We've got the England girls have been selected to play against Jamaica, and that's going to take place in October. And, you know, there's quite a few big, important competitions taking place in the run-up to the season next year, and, of course, the Netball World Cup, which is going to be really, really indispensable for the England coaches and the players to be able to really mesh together and, you know, figure out who's going to be in the lineup, really.
Definitely. So Tracy selected a 14-strong touring squad to face Jamaica. It's going to be a three-match series in October, as you said. And I think it's great to have such a big squad going out there, because Jamaica are a huge opponent for us, someone we always need to practice against. They're a wild card. We never know quite what they're going to pull out of the bag. And I think the more practice we can get against them ahead of the World Cup, the better.
100%. We have fallen against Jamaica in incredibly crucial times before. In, you know, not this Commonwealth Games just gone on the Gold Coast, but the one before that, we lost out on a bronze medal because we lost to Jamaica. And there've been other matches where that's happened, where we've literally just lost, you know, a medal or something really, really important against this squad. And as you said, they are so different. They don't play like the Australians. They don't play like the Kiwis. They have a completely different style of play, and they've got really, really tall defenders and shooters. So either end, they have like 6'5", 6'7", 6'8", you know, players, which we struggle sometimes to come up against, and almost any team does. So it is really, really important that we kind of have a really strong series of play against them.
Definitely. Jamaica, they scare me. I love watching them play, and I'm always excited when England are going to play Jamaica, because you just don't know what to expect. And I think in the last few years, especially with our players going out to Australia and New Zealand, we've kind of cracked that clinical, consistent style of play that the Aussies and the Kiwis have. Whereas the Jamaicans are always bringing something different. They're fluid, they're explosive. They will play that ridiculous long ball in that, you know, 9 times out of 10 won't come off, but then that one time will come off and make us look really stupid. So we just have to be really on our toes against them. And it's exciting to watch because, you know, I like watching Australia because they're fantastic, but it, you know, it can get a little bit boring. It's like, okay, we know what you're going to do. You're all about that consistency and, you know, keeping to your game plan. Whereas Jamaica kind of do whatever it takes to get the ball into the circle, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, they can, and they are unpredictable. Like their goal attack will sometimes just throw in a ball from like the centre third into, you know, Fowler Reed or whoever they've got shooting on the day, and then they'll just like net it immediately, and it will be such a wow play that most teams wouldn't do, because that most teams would work it to the edge of the circle. Not Jamaica though. They're like, nah, we've got something else up our sleeve.
Yeah, exactly. So who have we got in our squad who we think can counter this unpredictable style of play? So we've got Amma Agbaze is captaining again, which is just fantastic. She's so strong at the back. She has so much experience.
Yeah, I just think it's amazing for England to still have her right the helm, because she was, you know, I saw some stuff behind the scenes at the Commonwealth Games where she, you know, after every game, she'd give the England squad a gift or, you know, something like that. And she is so well respected as a captain. I cannot emphasize that enough. And I really, really think that she makes a huge difference. She's a subtle leader, but she's very, very calm and she knows what she's talking about. And those girls absolutely respect the hell out of her. So to have her captaining them in another test series against Jamaica is going to mean a lot. And then also Jade Clark, the most capped England player of all time as vice captain. You've got such strong leadership there, and you know, you just think, what a great start to this squad.
Oh, definitely. And then on the flip side, we've got Summer Artman and we've got George Fisher. We've got these two really young youthful players who we don't know what they're able to bring yet, but we've got that youth and that energy that they can bring to the squad, as well as that level of experience. And I think that's really important to have both. And that, you know, there's Eleanor Cardwell as well. She falls into that category of that youthful side too. So I think it's really nice to have that mix. It's not all players that you're used to seeing. Hopefully we'll get some really different, exciting combinations on. And you can just tell that Tracy's looking ahead to the next series, to next season and to the World Cup, and seeing, you know, really testing the breadth of the players we've got available to us, seeing who can really shine and make it onto that World Cup squad.
Yeah, exactly. And it is such a big deal for those players that you just mentioned. George Fisher, also Razia Kouachi. I'm really sorry, I may have pronounced that wrong, but that her name is very difficult to pronounce. And Summer Artman, because they're players who, you know, you don't often see in the England senior squad lineup. So it is a huge deal for them to finally, you know, they're breaking their way into the senior squad in a really important test series, actually. And as you said, it's good that Tracy's looking ahead. But, you know, I feel like this time last year when we were chatting, we were saying, oh, what about, you know, it's the Commonwealth Games coming up. Now we're talking about the Netball World Cup, and there will always be a big tournament to look forward to. So it's important to still find time to fit in the youth players, and that's what she's doing, and it's so great to have that. And also, how amazing is this squad? Look how different they are to the Commonwealth Games squad that we've been seeing. And the fact that we have, as you said, such breadth is incredible. The England, you know, the England programme, the training programme where they're professional players, is really doing its work, because we've got such a wide range of people to select in all parts of the court. So, yeah, it's great. And it's also going to be good to see Sasha Corbin back on the court. We always talk, whenever you and I talk, we're always like, oh, Sasha. But we both love her and we think she's fantastic to watch. She's a great player.
We're such fangirls, but yeah, I'm really excited to see her get back on. So yeah, that is definitely great. Yeah, and like I said, it's just really encouraging to see that breadth. And so another squad that's been named in the last couple of days is the squad for the Fast Five World Netball Series, which is always a really exciting competition. It's the short, fast kind of version of the game. And it's a really different style of play to the normal setup of netball, and I think it requires a whole different kind of skill set, and I think that's reflected in the players that have been selected for Fast Five. It's people who, you know, maybe specialise in this different form of the game.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and I think that interesting selections here, actually. Different, very, very different to the squad that we took out last year, because last year, remember, we won the gold medal, which was, I think, the start of the magical year for us, where we won gold at the Fast Five tournament in Australia and then gold at the Commonwealth Games. So, yeah, it's, and as you said, it is fun. The girls go on, they have new, different kits, like funky hairstyles, which I personally love. I'm like, woohoo! Different hair braiding going on, I'm always inspired. But yeah, very, very interesting, because of course we do have the Fast Five All-Stars tournament here in the UK, and during that it's sort of similar rules, slightly different to this Fast Five tournament, which is obviously coming up against international teams. But you can see the shooters do those long bombs, and instead of in the traditional game where most attackers try and work the ball to the edge of the circle, it's not always about that. Sometimes it's about working the shooters to the edge of the circle to get, you know, the extra points for a longer range shot. So it is totally different, and I'm not at all surprised to see George Fisher in the mix there. And obviously we were just talking about her being announced for the Jamaica squad. Congratulations to her again. What an amazing few weeks she must have had to have had those emails to be told that she's been selected for these tournaments. When we saw her play in the Fast Five All-Stars tournament here in the UK last year, she was such a standout player for me. She just completely consistently just stood confidently outside the circle, took those really long range shots and just netted them in again, you know, constantly one after the other. And it was so impressive to see her do that. And she just looked so happy as well.
She was so, I found her so consistently calm. Like I felt when she had the ball, I was looking at her and I felt confident that that was going to go in. There was no nerves on her face. She was very composed for such a young player, which I was really, really impressed with. And I think for her to be given the opportunity to shine on this kind of international stage will do wonders to keep building that confidence up. And especially she's going to get to play alongside Jo Harton, which again will just be a fantastic experience for her to watch how Jo works in the circle and to see how she plays that ball in. And you know, when she the tactical decisions as of to when she decides to take that long bomb or when she decides to, you know, work it in closer. And I think that will be just really, really fantastic experience for George to watch as well.
Oh, totally agree. And you know, we've got other shooters as well that we don't normally see in the mix. We've got Ella Clark. So she was one of the training partners for the England squad during the Commonwealth Games campaign. So she went out with them in that 6-week training camp period and was training consistently with them. She was coming back from injury as well. So it'll be really, really good to see her. I think she's a really dynamic player as well, and I'm looking forward to seeing what she's going to do. But then you've got Leila Guskov, and every time I see her name for something, I'm always really like, wow, Leila's amazing, because she's a doctor. She's like a medical doctor. She saves people's lives and she also plays netball at this incredibly high level. And, you know, sometimes you get up and you think, oh God, I don't want to go to the gym. And then you're like, Leila Guskov probably did.
It's really ridiculous, isn't it? I'm like, some people just have too much talent. Like, it's not fair. Like, share it out. You can't be ridiculously successful in academics and your career and you're also an elite athlete. Like, oh my God. Never feel so inadequate as when I'm thinking about Leila Guskov. It's like, wow, okay. What am I doing with my life? Yeah, she's amazing. She is fully amazing. And I'm excited also to see Emma Dovey in the mix in the defensive side as well, because don't get to see her much, and I've loved watching her over the years playing for Thunder, and I've been watching her for a really long time and I really like the way she plays. So I'm glad that she's still getting in the mix basically and still being given these opportunities to play on the international stage and to play with other England girls. So I'm excited to see what she's bringing.
That's a really good point actually, and it'll be so great to see Emma and players who are lesser known playing internationally in that mixture of, you know, the England squad as well. And also can't wait to see their hairstyles.
You're just really excited about the braids, aren't you? That's your main thing.
I know.
So we've also had the selection announcement for the under-21 Netball Europe title as well. So obviously we are defending champions of this title, so it's quite a lot of pressure for these young girls going out there. Can they, you know, keep that consistency, keep us with that championship?
Yes. To be honest, this event is always, I always find it quite interesting, because if you look at the teams in Europe, England are head and shoulders above the rest, really. And I think that often they don't find it difficult to compete at these events, the European Championship events, I mean, and they don't find it difficult to win. So often what they do is they bring in really, really young squads. This is obviously an under-21 squad, so they're young as it is, but you know, they bring in players who you don't normally see in the lineup for things like this. So I always find that quite interesting. But it'd be really good to have Fran Williams captaining the team. And we've seen her play with Wasps this season. She's a defender and she's been absolutely fantastic. And she's one of those young players who's really building her name and kind of like building her experience with England. So it'll be really amazing for her to see her captaining the team actually. When you go on a tour like this, you have your team meeting, then you get strapped up, then you have your place where you all walk out in a certain order to sit on the bench, and you have certain things that you do during time, during half time or quarter time, where, you know, certain players will sit down, other players will stand up. There's just small things like that you know, they will get used to. And as you said, it is really important to kind of do that early on. But also, not only the players that have been selected, when we look at all these different events taking place, we've got a completely different coaching lineup as well. So for the under-21s, we've got Sam Bird, who obviously she coaches Seven Stars, and Emily Perry. And then for Fast Five, we've got Karen Atkinson and Karen Grieg. So And then obviously for the Jamaica series, we've got Tracy Neville and Colette as well. So, you know, it's good for us to not only be developing our players, but to be developing coaching staff and coaching duos or teams for different events, because Tracy has been absolutely amazing for the England squad, but she's not going to be there for forever. And it's really important to have other people kind of in the mix who have that experience, who have the relationship with the players, maybe as they're young players, you know, who will kind of develop with them. So I think it's really, really positive. And all of these announcements just prove how well England are doing. But actually, one thing we did say we wanted to chat about, Nat, was the fact that we haven't seen Stacey Francis being announced in any of the squads, which we sort of were a bit like, oh, that's a complete shame, because she is one of the key defenders. She's been amazing for West Coast Fever this season in Australia.
I love watching her play, and it's a shame to not see her in the mix for anything. And also, like, she always has the best hairstyles. So, like, you saying that you're excited about the braids, like, she would be a key person. She's always got, like, crazy green braids in her hair and, like, all these mad patterns. And, yeah, I'm always looking at her Instagram like, okay, what do I want to do with my hair next? Like, she is, like, a braids inspiration. But also, she's also very good at netball. So I'm very sad that she's not in the mix. It's a shame. Like, she's, you know, has been a key defensive player for the England setup for a long time, and yeah, it's odd that she's not there. Yeah,
it is odd. It's completely weird, and a lot of people have been talking about it on Twitter or Facebook and things like that, and saying, you know, her absence has not been missed at all by England fans who completely love her, because she's one of those players who will go on and make an impact 100% of the time. She's such a strong defender, and it feels like a complete shame that she isn't in the mix-up. And we don't know the ins and outs of it, but, well, it's just a shame she's not there, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels like there's something going on there. We're not sure what it is, but hopefully more details will emerge in due course. But we send all the best to Stacey, and we do miss her. We miss you, Stacey, so that is our message to you.
Well, Nat, I really, really enjoyed this week's chat talking about the return of Serena Guthrie and also the England squads who've been announced for what's going to be a really busy winter period, I think. So thank you to everybody who's been listening this week.
Yes, thank you so much. And there's so much exciting stuff on the horizon. It's just making me really excited for next season and all the amazing things that are going on internationally and here on home soil. So thank you to everyone for listening. And if you've got any comments, anything you want to add, please make sure you go and check us out on Twitter at The Netball Show. We want to hear from you.
I didn't really think it was ever going to happen for us, and to do it in those circumstances, you know, win by one goal and to score the winning goal, it's just incredible.
Welsh netball is in a really strong position at the moment, and it's a real privilege for me to be able to captain both the Celtic Dragons and the Welsh national team. For Scotland, it really just solidified the progression that we've made as a country on the world stage.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show with Viper 10.